if he helped. Okay. Sorry. But in any case, this is far from over. The only difference between all the events that preceded this pasuk and now is that Haman is dead. But Haman's monster that he created is still very much alive.
He gave the ring to Mordechai.
But the ring is useless. You can't take back the laws. You can't take back the Sfarim. There was Sfarim given out to the entire world to kill the Jews, and that's still out there. But Taimer, and she said, Imalamelech Taiv, should be good to the king, and Matzasek in the front of, and if I find favor in front of him, the Kasha Dalvach Ne'amelech has three things. Imalamelech Taiv, that means your melatayv is that you are well disposed. Melatayv, it's good. You're well disposed to grant this. You want to do it. It's something which you want to do. The metzatzichem in front of is that, regardless of whether you want to do it or not, be like me. And the kasha davar is, it happens to be the proper course of action. So she was appealing to all different facets.
And then what's the
Ramallah Taiv is that you want to do it. Or do you think, yeah, you also think it's a good idea. Well, this is the Vilna Gaon.
What was the last one?
It's the right thing to do.
What was the phrase? I'm sorry.
Oh, the kosher hadavos ne'amal. It fits. The kosher. It's kosher. The tov ani be'enav, and I'm good in his eyes. Now this is a little bit. This phrase needs explanation. Cover all the bases. You want to do it. You like me, and you think it's the right thing to do. So what's the fourth thing? Tov ani be'enav.
Well, that is I'm good in
his. Yeah, but then you're saying the same thing twice. So the Vilna Gaon says, Tevani be'enav is, you know, she was covering an additional base. So maybe you'll think, Achashverosh, you don't care about the Jews. You don't think it's the right thing to do. You don't want to do it. That takes two out of three, right? You don't want to do it. You don't think it's the proper thing to do. Let the Jews, whatever's going to happen to them, chas v'shalom. And the third thing, do you like me? So you do have a problem with that. But the solution is, so you'll grant me clemency. You'll protect me. Yeah, even though she's Jewish and there's an edict to kill all Jews, you'll surround me with the Republican guards. So you'll take care of all three reasons.
It's incredible.
So the says, Tayyav Ani Be'enav, that's where she's countering that. Tayyav Ani Be'enav is that what kind of wife do you think I'm going to be if her whole nation is wiped out? She said, if you think that you could allow my entire nation to get killed out, and I'm still going to be good in your eyes, I will not be, in your eyes, I will be miserable. I'll be lousy, you'll get no nachas, you'll get no hana for me.
No shalom bias.
Right. Tayyav Ani Be'enav is that I'm only good in your eyes because I have a nation. I don't have a nation, forget it. So that's the four things. You could say, but it should be written. And if it's not, what's the extra thing?
It's not what we just said.
I mean, all four things are different. We'll get to it. All four things can be different if I'm not the Kaddish Baruch. All four things can be different. But tell you, I need enough. You kasev, let it be written. Lahashav is a svarim. Get the svarim back. Machshavas haman amdasa. Haman's machshava. Get back the svarim of his machshava. Hagagi ashekasav. He wrote la'abed as a Yehudim. Destroy the Jews. Asher b'chal medin esamala. That are in all the medinas, all the provinces of the king. Seder. The Vilna Gaon is Maramis to understand, you know, way of understanding this pasuk on a higher level. Okay. He doesn't elaborate on it, but he says, you see in the pasuk, the word Hamelech is mentioned three times. Im al-Malach Taiv. Im al-Malach Taiv. Kashadav v'nei al-Malach. B'chomidiyas al-Malach. And then they also have the phrase V'tayv ani be'enav. I'm good in his eyes. And the Vilnagain says that the three times that it mentions Melech, and then the fourth thing, V'tayv ani be'enav, they correspond to Kadosh Baruch Hu's name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Kadosh Baruch Hu sets up a wondrous world, a wondrous Bria, a wondrous Eilam, that the purpose of the Olam is that Hashem's Malchus should be eminent, should be revealed in all its glory, and there's the zone where, you know, Hashem's book set this up, and then there's the ones that do it, and the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, it can really be divided up into two parts. The first three letters are the spiritual aspects, you know, the act of creation and sustaining creation, and all the hashpoyos, the influences, the hashkacha Hashem has on the world, and then the last letter, the hey, that's us, the Yud Kei Vav, that's the more celestial aspects of creation, and the last hey is us, and that's something which is it's demonstrated. But the words Melech, 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 it says Melech three times in the Pasuk. The first Melech is for you, the second Melech is for Hey, the third Melech is for Vav. And Tev Ani Be'enav, that's Klal Yisrael, that's us. And if you want to go into it deeper, you'd have to understand what the Yud means, what the Hey means, what the Vav means, and why it corresponds with the Melech in the Pasuk. Ve'en kan mokem l'harach. I'll tell you one memory for Rekeach. Rekeach, so what's for Kasha Hadavar? The Kasha Hadavar Lefnei HaMelech. The Davar is Kasha Lefnei HaMelech. What does it mean, kosher? What does it mean, kosher? So he also explains this on a higher level, that we're talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the thing should be kosher. I mean, so Davar, in this context, doesn't mean thing. Davar here means speech. How do you say speech? Dibur. Ve'idav Hashem Moshe Le'emar. So kasha davar is that the speech is kosher. And she was referring to the mitzvah. The mitzvah of speech is the mitzvah of tefillah. Torah, tefillah. We use our power of speech for Torah and tefillah. So kasha davar refers to the davening and the learning of Klal Yisrael, and it's kasha. And the gematria of the word Vikasher, Vav Chaf Shin Resh, 526. Yeah?
Okay.
Vikasher, Vav Chaf Shin Resh. Vikasher, 526, is the same gematria as the word Tefillah. Tefillah is also 526. Another Ramesses says, the Medrash says, if there was a sefer down on earth that was written in a sefer, the Klal Yisrael should be exterminated. Such a thing could only happen if there's a sefer in Shemayim that says the Klal Yisrael is going to be exterminated. That has to precede it. But the Adam are not given the kayach, the innate, the inborn kayach to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. If Haman had the kayach the kayach of Malchus to write, to make an official document, then it must be that Shemayim was already nigzar. We spoke about this. It was sealed, but it was sealed with clay. It wasn't sealed with blood. And in order for Klal Yisrael to be saved, they had the document on high had to be nimchak. The shtachayv had to be nimchak. And the Medrash says that it was. Eliyahu HaNavi was sent to erase the gzardim in Shemayim against Klal Yisrael. It was Nimchak. The Medrash uses a lesson that Eliyahu HaNavi erased the Sefer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eliyahu, that's the Medrash. He erased it. you look in the Rashi Tevis of the words Yikasev Lahashiv Es Hasfarim. Yikasev Lahashiv Es Hasfarim is that it should be written to bring back the Sfarim. So you have Yud Lamed Al Hey, which is Eliyah. And Eliyah Navi's name is in the end of Malachi, his name is spelled Eliyah without the Vav.
So Yikasev
Lahashiv Es Hasfarim. Right, it's Elijah the prophet.
Not Elijah who?
Elijah. Tamamish Marumas in the Pasuk. Pasuk Vav. Ki Echacha Uchavari. You see, how could Echacha, how am I able to see Bara Asher Yimtzes, and me with the evil which is going to find my people? Ve'chacha Uchavari. And how am I able to see Ba'avda Maladati in the destruction? Says evil and then the destruction. Two times Echa. Evil and destruction. Rav Lagain says that Esther was prophesizing. The word Lashon Echacha is very similar to Echa. I mean, she was between the two Batim Mikdashim, so there wasn't a second Beis Hamikdash yet. But she had lived through the Churban Bayis Rishon, and she foresaw the Churban Bayis Sheni, and she was davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right now, this is Binyan HaBayis. That's what the Isaac in. They want to save Klal Yisrael, rededicate themselves, and go up to Eretz Yisrael, not make the same mistakes that they made before, that they didn't go up, and Binyan HaBayis, and she sees that there's going to be two Churbanis, and she's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Echacha, Echacha. Remember, she's in the Makom HaMikdash. She's still there. This is the Vilangan. So one is for Mikdash Rishon, and one is for Mikdash Sheni. Echacha, Echacha. The phrase ends with Babdan Malatati, my Maledetz is going to get destroyed. What does it mean, my Maledetz is going to get destroyed? Well, what is she... How could I, with my Maledetz, is going to get destroyed. What's my Maledetz? So he said the commentary Yosef Lekar says she was using a certain line of reasoning with him. She said, I find favor in your eyes. And now that you know that where I'm from, she was a descendant of Shaul HaMelech. So now her endearment is enhanced. Menachash Peres probably always suspected that there's something there. He didn't know what it was. When he found out that she's a descendant of Shaul HaMelech, that means she's Malchus. And that's something which just cements the relationship between them. And she says that this kind of covered is only meaningful if the nation from whose kings I descend from is still around. You marry a princess from an extinct monarchy, that's not covered. That's a bazillion. So he says that's of the malarity, is that if my...
That's where Vashti was from.
Vashti, well, yes. So who said that she gave him cover? She thought she gave him cover. What do you think his title was? Nachon? Nachon Ma'od. What do you think his title was? You're nothing. You're nothing. You're extinct. You've got royal blood running through your veins. Yeah, okay. So that's that was the time. The Pasuk Zayin. Please excuse me. Ve'im ha-melech ha-chashveresh la-Esther ha-melka u-le-Mordechai Yehudi. She's talking to both of them. Hinei beis Haman nasat la-Esther. Behold, I gave Haman's house to Esther. Interesting. We just had a shift there. He's talking to both of them, and then he addresses himself to Mordechai. How do you know that he's talking to both of them? Because it says he has both. How do you know he's addressing himself to Mordechai? He said, because I gave Haman's house to Esther. So that means you're not talking to Esther.
Does that mean he didn't know that she gave it to Mordechai?
No. Because the pause isn't there. Look at the shop. We always say Talo Eitz, and we hung him on the gallows. Asher Shalach Yadav by Yehudim, he sent his hand against the Yehudim. He's not saying anything. Esther, she cried, and not only that, like we said, she put her life. She took her life in her hands, and Achashverosh pardoned her. So whatever she's coming for is very important to her. And he's saying, Esther, I give you Haman's house, and we hung him, and he tried to kill the Jews. What is he telling her that she doesn't know already? Why is he doing this?
He'll do what she wants.
He's not saying anything. He's saying, you know, politics.
You're the power that Haman has.
Yeah, I'm saying that's very scary. He said, okay, I give you his house. That means that's all he's going to do. That's scary, if that's what he means.
No, but I give you house. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to do things for you.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's develop that a little further. So the commentary called the Rishon Letzion said, he didn't want to do anything. He didn't want to do anything. But he was trying to convince Esther that there's no need to do anything. He was telling Esther, I was mechabed you, I gave you something, we hung Haman on the tree. He said, you don't have to do anything. Nobody is going to lift their hand against the Jews when they see them. You don't have to do anything. That's how he learns. So he was overstating the obvious, because he wanted to place an emphasis on certain things. That once these are public things, this is public knowledge, this is in public domain, there's no need to do anything. Now, we know otherwise. You know, for 1 year, Mitzrayim got a beaten. They got a beaten. And no one in their right minds is going to come up against the Bnei Yisrael, but the Amalekim, they're not in their right minds. They have one instinct. They kill Jews. You can't train a shark not to kill. They went for it. So this was, you know, battle. The Yosef Lekach, he attacks this problem from another direction. He asked that question that I pointed out. Ahasuerus is saying, I gave Haman's palace to Esther. So he's referring to Esther in the third person. Now he's talking to Esther at the same time. So he should have said, I gave it to you. This is the Yosef Lekach. Why does he say, I gave it to Esther? He should have said, I gave it to you.
It was kind of like a jab, like I gave it to you and you gave it away right away.
It's very... And then he has the second question, the same thing as the Rishon LeZion. Why is he repeating the obvious? So he has two questions. And he answers, the Esther, you know, she's pashut scared. We went over this before from Yosef Lekach, that Ahasuerus is indebted to Mordechai and Esther over and over again. But he led Mordechai through the streets. He gave Esther the whole palace. He honored Mordechai. He raised him up. And she thought that that's all they're getting. You know, she wants the life of her people. And she ends up, you know, like, my dad went to Persia and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. You know, this is all she got. We said this in Yosef Lekach before. And that's why she was crying. Because the very fact that he gave her these things was scaring the wits out of her. And she was begging him. And Ahasuerus saw that she didn't understand him. See, actually, Yosef Lekach makes Ahasuerus out to be a decent... At least in this area, he had a bit of decency. Ahasuerus is trying to get through to Esther that it's okay. That's not pshat. You're misreading it. You don't understand. That's not it. So Ahasuerus saw Mordechai there. So he said, Mordechai, she doesn't understand. Could you explain it to her? So he switched out. He was talking to her, but she didn't hap. And she's crying, and she's begging, and the world is coming to him. So he said, Mordechai, could you explain to her? It's not true. He said, you think I gave her the house because I that's the end of my chesed? That's like a I'm substituting what she wants? You think that, and you think I raised you up because that's all I want to do and it's ended with that? That's the furthest thing from my mind. He said, you know, do you understand what I accomplished with this? You understand what I accomplished with this? People, the Jewish people are in danger because they're going to go following Haman's directives. They're going to go kill Jews. And they think that I'm behind it. The minute I gave Esther Haman's palace and I killed Haman, so then that fallacy, that was exposed to be a fallacy. It's not, Haman did it without rishus. And he got killed because he pulled one over on the king. And everybody knows that. That not only didn't I give him my blessing, but I killed him because he had the chutzpah to touch my people, the Jewish people, they're mine. And he had the chutzpah to do it. And this is the impression. That's the pasuk. He sent his hands against the Jews.
He's making himself sound like a really good guy.
He is sounding like a very good guy. And I gave it to you. Because, why? Because I want to publicize. I don't want people to think that Haman died because of some minor infraction, you know, because he put a fly in the cup of the king, you know. I want them to know that his death was connected to Mordechai and Esther. And they'll know it because they see Esther and Mordechai walking around his palace. He said, that's why I gave it to her. And he said, they hung him on a tree. Trees, you know, very, very high. So this is how the Yosef Lakach learns it. So it sounds out to be, you know, not bad. The Rekach says, the Rebbe is in the Pasuk. It says, Asher Shalach Yado by Yehudim, which means Haman sent his hand against the Jews, which is Din. That's just, you know, that's Din, that's punishment. But that only appeared like punishment, but in the end, it was the greatest Rahmanis, because that actually saved the Jewish lives, because it shocked them and it brought us to tshuva. And you look at the last letter, Asher, Shalach, Yado, by Yehudim, Reish, Ches, Vav, Mem, is Rachum. Pasuches. V'yatam, and you kisval, Yehudim, Katei, Be'enechem, write on the Jews, like what's good in your eyes, B'shem, Amalach, in the name of the king, the chismai, and seal it, with Tabasa Melech, with the signet ring of the king, Kiksava Shanichta B'Shem HaMelech, something that was written in the name of the king, V'Nachtam, and it was sealed with Tabasa Melech, with the signet ring, and Lahasha cannot be retracted. So I can't take those things back, but you can counteract them by sending them out. The Pasuk starts with the phrase, Kisfu Alayhudim, right on the Jews. That is strange. Did it write on the Jews? Write on them. Right on the Jews.
Commanding them to do something.
Write about the Jews. You're writing on the Jews.
I'm commanding them to do something.
I know. I mean, the pasuk pshat is that al can mean about. Okay, but if you have a pshat that's mamish meduyik in the lashon, you name a tayv and a name. The Vilna Gaon says, how do you send out a second set of letters that contradicts the first? At most, some people will believe one, some people will believe the other, and people could end up getting hurt. You want to totally counteract the effects of the first letters. So the guy said that this is what they did. Remember, Haman, he wanted to keep things under wraps. So, you know, he had two sets of letters. He had one set of letters which was sent out to private individuals that he could trust, with the details, but the one that was sent out to everybody said, be ready. It's a day of vengeance. Be prepared. Be ready. It didn't have any names there. The second set of letters that Mordechai and Esther, you could see this coming. The second set of letters that Mordechai and Esther sent out said, and you know who was meant, who was the intended ones in the first letters? The enemies of the Jews. The king became aware that there's a hostile element in the nation, that they hate the Jewish people, his beloved Jewish people, and he designated a day, the 13th day of Adar, for the Jews to take their vengeance out against their enemies, whoever rises up against them. Scabbos. So that's Kisu al Yehudim. That means you should write in a way that they assume that the first letters were on the Jews. Kisu. Pause. Al Yehudim. Write to make those letters apply to the Jews. The word I would be apply. Mamish Mayadik. Devin Ezra, this is the Vilna Gaon. Devin Ezra says the same thing, and he adds one point. And he says, in the second letters, it also says that Haman was given the job of sending out these letters. Which letters? That the Jews should kill the Gaon. Haman doesn't like the Jews, so Haman planned to switch the Jews' name for the Gaon's name. He got caught. He got killed trying to counterfeit the king's thing. I mean, Devonessa's shot has a minor improvement, because according to Devonessa, it counteracts even the private letters. It doesn't just contact, it contacts the private letters.
Well, it's interesting. Like, the other one makes it not makes people not believe them. When they're saying, oh no, it's really talking about destroying the Jews, people won't believe it. They'll say they were counterfeited.
You know, you have corroborating evidence. Besides the letters, the second letters, you have the Haman was killed and the Mordechai was raised up and Esther got the presents. And plus, you know,
that's in the first shot.
In the first shot, the Vilna Gaon shot.
Yeah.
So you said that the second letters just say that this was the intended thing. It doesn't include, the first shot doesn't include any of Haman's nefarious designs. It makes no mention of him. Yeah. And the second shot addresses that too. Pasuk Tes. V'yikaron sefer ha-melech b'hezi b'cheresh ha-shlishi b'cheresh ha-sivan. Let it be read, the scribes of the king of that time, in the third month, in Sivan b'shlishi v'simnoi, which is 23 days. It's, you know, Haman got killed on Pesach, on the second day of Pesach. And this is the 23rd day of Sivan. That's, you know, it's more than 2 months later. 70 days later. It was written according to the command of Mordecai to the Jews. It's like governors. It's exactly 70 days. Yeah, 70. Governors, and rulers. These are different forms of rulers, Vasar, Medinais, and officers. Asher, Mehaydu Vatkush, Sheva Vyasamaya Medina. Medina Kiksava, according to the script, Amram Kilshaine, according to their spoken language. Well, Yehudim Kiksava and Kilshaine, the Jews also got letters. This time the Jews got letters. The Vulnagai says, why do you wait so long? You know, Mordecai and Esther, they have to save the Jews. Chalamay, you're allowed to write a Chalamay to save people's lives. Send it out. What are you waiting too long? What are you waiting 70 days for? So the Vulnagai says, you said, I might have mentioned this to you a long time ago. It was very important that to establish credibility that the ones that bring the letters, the second set of letters, Mordecai and Esther's letters to the populace, should be the same ones that brought the first one. Otherwise,
well, they had to come back.
Right, so it took them time to come back. So you waited. So you held it was pikuach nefesh to wait for them to come back. This way, you'd have credibility. The same messengers. Obviously, there was a change of heart at the palace, but it was different messengers to suspect some kind of subterfuge.
Tomfoolery.
And that's, you know, that's the chitzoniyistic reason. You know, everything in Megillus has to happen on two levels. The pneumius is that Klal Yisrael has to deserve to be saved, and they didn't deserve it, so they needed 70 days to do tshuva. Mm-hmm. And you can't send the letters out to do tshuva. Why 70 days? For, you know, each day, a day of tshuva for each one of the 70 years that they're in exile. Hmm. And they're in exile for
70 years.
Right. And,
but it hasn't been 70 years yet.
No, what? Well, whether it's 70, right, it's not 70 years. Well, there were different sets of 70 years. That's first of all. But it's still, they knew that it was 70 years. Hmm. So if you could do tshuva on a part of Golis that didn't happen yet, that's also good. You know, they knew it was 70 years, they had the pasuk. So it didn't happen, they did it.
They already started before. They started in tshuva.
Yeah, but there's different levels in tshuva. The Yerushalmi that said the 70 days seemed to be a schus. What, at the end of these 70 days, the Goyim were dead, right? Yeah, once these letters went out, that's a gzar din against the Goyim. And the Goyim had a schus to live for another 70 days. That they didn't, you know, they had a right, they had a schus, they had a merit to have a 70-day grace period. And obviously it means that if the guy in the middle of those 70 days, if they had done tshuva, then the whole thing would have worked out differently. Once it was written that the Jews are going to kill the Goyim, that's like a gzar din on them, and they're going to die.
No, but it's not. What it's not really a matter of when the letters go out, because it,
no, it is.
Was
when they signed
and
sealed.
It was for already for like a year from then.
Doesn't matter. That's when the gzar din is written. You should know. You should know by now that everything happens with a gzar din. In Shemayim it's written, and then if in Shemayim it's written, so then there's a display of that baritz. It's written, and then once it's written, it's a done deal.
I'm just saying because of their schus, they couldn't have the gzar din.
What was
their schus?
Because when Yaakovina was nifter in Mitzrayim, so they cried for 70 days. Was some kind of schus. Go figure that one out.
But they were not mulling. That was.
I know. Ain't kam
wasn't
Amalek. Amalek
wasn't people scattered throughout the country.
Yeah, I know. It was everyone.
So it
yeah, everyone died. Everyone died. Yeah, well, Mitzrayim is more than just Egyptians. Mitzrayim represents all 70 nations. Remember, it says the pasuk says Vayihi b'yamim harabim ahem, and it was in those days yamim harabim. Pashmais, Vahib, B'yamim harabim hay. It was in the days of Rabim. And Rabim is Rosh Hashanah, Remi, Bavel, Yavon, Madai. So Mitzrayim means all the four kingdoms. So the four kingdoms. What?
Remi wasn't around there.
So what? It was going to be around. It was around. It was in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim represents the four kingdoms, and the four kingdoms deserve another 70 days. Rekech says a remez. He said this pasuk is the biggest pasuk in Tanakh. It's got 43 words in it.
This pasuk?
43 words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I'm guessing it has.
Yes, it has 43 words in it. This is the longest pasuk in Tanakh. For your information, it's the biggest one in Tanakh. And the second biggest pasuk, one of the runner-ups, is in Paragimo pasuk Yudbeis. That has 40 words in it. That's when they were sent out for the first letters. So the first letters that were sent out by Haman has 40 words in it, and the second letters that were sent out by Mordechai and Esther has 43 words in it, and it's the biggest one. The reason why the pasuk of the first letters has 40 is because Haman was trying to destroy the Am HaTorah. He hated the Jews because they're the Am HaTorah. That's why he hated them. So he was trying to destroy the Torah, because if there's no Jews, there's no Torah, because the Torah was given in 40 days. Yeah? But Haman, well, the Jews had two things going for them. Number one, they're the Am HaTorah, but that wasn't enough because they weren't really keeping the Torah. But they had 3 days of fasting. They came back to the Torah through the 3 days of fasting. So the 3 days of fasting restored their relationship to the Torah. If the Torah is represented by 40, and 3 days of fasting brings them back to the Torah, then you add 40 to 3 and you get 43, and that's why the pasuk of their Hatzalah, of the salvation, has 43 words in it, because that overcame Haman. Pasuk Yud. Vayichtoiv b'shem HaMelech Achashverosh. It was written in the name of the king Achashverosh. Vayachtam b'tabas HaMelech. It was sealed with his ring. Vayishlach Sfarim b'yadaratzim. The runners, basusim, and horses. It's a very bit, you know, it's a bit of a complication here. He sent them with runners and horses.
Well, runners for the closer places, horses for the farther places.
Reichvei Arekash, the riders, Achashtranim b'nei Ramachim. That's a kind of animal. The Gemara Megillah, okay, let's start with the runners. Haman sent runners. When Haman sent his letters out, there's no mention of horses. The Vilna Gaon says that Mordechai is sending the runners out. Why is he sending the runners out? Because it has to be the same ones. But he sends these runners out with horses. Why don't you... Why? Yeah, so why? One reason is it's quicker. And the other is they were tired. They were exhausted. They were exhausted. They couldn't run. They couldn't run no more. The horse ran out of gas. You'd see the Yosef Lekka makes a diak in the pasuk. It says here that Mordechai wrote and Mordechai sealed. That means he didn't. There were a lot of letters. And he didn't have a mail merge program in those days. That means he personally wrote and signed them all. Because Al said he was busy. He was busy day and night. Mamish. He was always busy day and night. And Pasuk Tess. Yeah, he makes a diak. In the previous pasuk, it was the third month, Chodesh Sivan, B'shloisha v'Eshem Bo, the 23 of it. There's a word missing in that. In the 23 of it. Usually you write B'shloisha v'Eshem Yayim, right? You ever wrote out a ksuba? You don't write the 23'd. The word Yayim is missing. Why? Because there was no day and night. the distinction between day and night was blurred. It was just one uninterrupted period. Mamish, everything was in a rush. They were tired. But Mordechai, he wrote and he signed them all. Now by Haman, the Lashon HaPasuk was, it nichtav v'nechtam. By his letter, it was written and it was sealed, which means he had other people do it. Now, we compare that. Haman was zealous. He was overzealous. And he built the tree by himself. Remember that? Yeah? He built the gallows himself. 50 amos high. Because of his rizus. So there was no slouch. So Mordechai was a zaris and Haman was a zaris. So why is it that Mordechai's rizus surpassed Haman's rizus? When it came to building the tree, he did it himself. Yosef Lekach says, because you have to look at what Haman did afterwards. After it was signed and sealed, it says, Vaymelech v'Haman yashvu l'shtayis. Haman wanted to destroy the Jews. But to sit and drink with the Melech, he had such a chavivus for that, that he overcame his natural kanayus, his zealousness.
This guy was more than
this. I don't know what it was, that emotion. The emotion of celebration, and that cost him. Because Mordechai was out of safe. Was Zaris out of safe? And with Haman, there was a chasara in his visas.
Mordechai didn't learn during this time?
I'm not sure how to answer that question.
There was a chasara that he didn't learn as much when he became...
not learning, so we'll get to that. We get to the last pasuk. It's not a chesaron of learning. No, not a chesaron. Reich ve'arechesh, achashtranim. Says a number of pshutim. There's a number of pshutim. What achashtranim bnei ramachim is. The Gemara Megillah says we don't know what it is. The Gemara Megillah daf yud ches amud aleph does not know what it is. What these creatures are.
The rest is going on these creatures?
Rech Be'arachas are riders.
Maybe flying creatures.
Achashtarponim?
Achashtranim b'nei ramachim. We don't know what they are.
It's just one creature?
We don't know what it is. The Gemara says we don't know what it is. Rashi says it's the camels.
The Gemara doesn't know, but Rashi...
There's different levels of this, you know, I'm tired. It's Pshat, Ramesh, Drush, and Sight. The Gemara does not have a definition that fits the level that the Gemara is on. In Pshat and Mikra, you have something. The Gemara is on a different level than Rashi and Chumash or Rashi and the thing. You'll find a lot of times that Ibn Ezra will say a Pshat that's not in the Gemara, but it's contrary to the Gemara. And it's not a steer. There's Pshat, Ramesh, Drush, and Sight. So in Pshat, you have a Pshat, but in Drush, the Gemara is Drush. There's nothing, the Gemara has no Mesera on the level of the Gemara, what it is. Rashi is a camel, the Ibn Ezra says it's a product of a donkey father with a horse mother.
A mule?
Well, it's a specific kind of mule. It's a very fast animal. That means the mother is the mother's horse. Not the other way around. The mother's a horse, the father's a donkey, and it's a mule. The Yosef Lekach, since it's not referring to creatures at all, it's spear wielders. People that wield spears, you know, like they're armed. He changes the chaf for a ches. In Hebrew, resh mem ches is a spear. In the pasuk, it's spelled resh mem chaf. So the Yosef Lekach says the ches and chaf are interchangeable.
What are they for?
Spears, I guess, armed. To enforce the law. Okay, somebody wants. I would say that there'd be enough opposition against these riders that the message should not get out. Kaput, kapush, kapish, kapish. You don't want, you know, they'd kill off the riders. And the keach is my. First of all, the keach says something, a general thing here. And this pasuk, Achashverosh is doing a lot. Like we said, he sounds like a good guy. He's doing an awful lot. He said in this pasuk, his mesira is that the word Achashverosh is spelled without a vav. I mean, in your chumash you might have one, but the rekeach's mesira is that it doesn't have a vav. You'd have to check in the klaf to see if it's there or not. But the rekeach had a mesira that Achashverosh spells out a vav. My chumash has one, but that's his mesira. I mean, you could check in the klaf. I'm not sure, you know, whether our cloth reflects or creates b'sar, but the Chumash doesn't. The Chumash has a vav. Okay, he said, why is because why is the vav missing from his name? Because there's something missing from Achashverosh. Because this is not Achashverosh. He's a Rasha. He's not a very good guy. He's not a do-gooder. He's not one of the men with the white hats. This is not Achashverosh. There's something missing. This is not Achashverosh. He said, why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu has Achashverosh in the palm of his hand. Kadosh Baruch Hu figuratively took his hand and wrapped it around Achashverosh's heart, and he's no longer in control of his actions. That's why it's missing, because Achashverosh is missing. There's a medrash. There is a medrash in Bereshis. In Bereshis, when the pasuk talks about all the animals Hashem created, so the medrash, it's brought down by the Rekeach and his commentary to Bereshis. You look, there's a Rekeach and Sefer Bereshis, Perek Aleph Pasuk of Hey. Hashem created an animal that has 8 legs. An 8-legged animal.
Which is this?
This is the Rekeach's commentary in Bereshis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk of Hey. It's got 8 legs, and it runs with 4 legs. And the other 4 are suspended, and they're at rest. And it runs very quickly, and when those legs get tired, as they're apt to do so then it lowers a fresh set of legs, and then lifts up the tired legs, and that way it can run on uninterrupted forever.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Heart doesn't...
Well, it lasts for longer.
That's what the Rekeach says in Bereshis. The Rekeach over here, in Esther, says you take the gematria of the word Chachastranim, it's 1,104. That's the exact same gematria as the phrase Shel Shmoina Raglayim. Got that, Reb Dave?
Okay, which one?
Ha'achashtranim is 1,014, which is the exact gematria of Shel Shmoina Raglayim. Exactly.
Wait, 1,114?
1,014. What? Get together, Lamud al Nashim, stand up for the lives, Lahashmid, to destroy, Lahar, kill, Lahabed, exterminate, it's called, I'm not sure the exact translation. It's called Chel Am, all the army of the people of Medina and the provinces of Tyre, my son, that are oppressing you. Tav and Ashim, children, women, Shalom Levites, destroy them. Babies, kill out all the babies. Baby killing. Amaleki babies. Nivolagan has a murder kakashi here. Haman, this is the exactness of what Haman wanted to do to us. Vahashim la'argal abed. And, you know, we said Haman wanted to rip us, take us off the derech, to rip us away from mitzvahs. Haman wanted to kill us. And Haman wanted to destroy our bodies. Lahashim la'arg la'abed. And we're using the same words for the Amalekim. What, we want to kill them? Yes, we do. We want to destroy their bodies? Granted. That's okay. You know, I'm saying, turn them into dog food. We want to take them away from the religion? Yes, kid, you know. How does it fit? Then we're going to. Has a married to Kakasha?
We should defend ourselves in each of these.
We want them to start believing in Hashem.
No, we don't.
Their religion is not to believe.
Right.
Their religion is suffix.
That's a negative.
No, so
Gain says the Kasha, not a Kasha. Because you're forgetting that these letters were originally written. Haman wrote out the first set of letters with the Jew as the intended victim. The second set of letters, all it did was substitute the Amalekim in place of the Jews. So if they would have written a fresh set of letters that said that told of the intentions of the Jews to the Goyim, they would have left that out. The Jews have permission to kill them. The Jews have permission to destroy their bodies. But since they were, this is a ruse. This is not substitution. This is Ramayus. We talked about trickery before. It's married, you know. Everything is with a shtick. Prime shtick. Since it's a ruse, so they had no choice but to leave that in. And they hoped that it wouldn't be noticed. Just saying, it's a mamash a chap chain kameo. Right, Pasuk Yudbeis. Oh my gosh. B'yei Mechad, one day, B'chol Medinas HaMelech HaChashverosh, in all the provinces of the King of HaChashverosh, B'shleisha Asa HaChadish, the 13th day of the month, named Asar HaChadish Adar, the month of Adar. Everything had to be done in one day. So you explain why Haman wanted to do everything in one day. Why is Mordechai doing, you know, what's his motivation for doing it all in one day?
Subverting disaster.
Very similar, very similar. Very similar. I mean, I saw the other guy says one shot. That's a little different. Haman had a 2-day plan. 1 day of killing, and no one's allowed to touch any of the plunder until they kill all the Jews. We explained, because that way, it would be, you know, that would be a way of enhancing the effectiveness of the plan. You don't want people to be distracted. You know, they're running after a Jew. A Jew will take a diamond ring and throw it, and the guy will run after the ring, and the Jew will escape. So he says, you're not allowed to take anything until you kill all the Jews tomorrow, you know? The 13th day is when you kill the Jews. The 14th day is Purim. That's when you get the stuff. But Mordechai had, you know, Mordechai had other things in mind. Mordechai, he wanted, the Jews would be motivated to kill the guy. But Mordechai wanted assistance from all the neighboring, you know, allies, potential allies. So he changed it. He said that the plunder and the killing is to be taking place in the same day. That way, then, you know, the Gentile neighbors will join in the killing because they want to get the plunder. But if you make a carbon copy of Haman's decree that no one's allowed to take anything on the first day, only the second day, then no one's going to help the Jews, or they get out of it. Such as the B.A. Mechad is a little bit different. It's Ramish everything in one day. The mom says a totally different mahalach. She says, B.A. Mechad, as Mordechai wanted the Jews to be limited in killing on one day, to concentrate things, because they wouldn't have time to plunder. If you only have one day to kill, you're not going to waste time plundering. You have a choice between grabbing money or killing an Amaleki. You're going to kill it. Where are your priorities? Of course you're going to kill the Amaleki. So you won't have time to do both. They'll choose killing the Amaleki over everyone else. And that'll be a kiddush shem shemayim. Because then everyone will see that the reason why they kill them is not because they want to get their money. It's because they want to kill them. So it's two different shabbos. This is the Malbim. Excuse me, I just want to move a little quicker now. I feel like Marmish. Marmish not right. Weiter. Pasheg and Aksav, the contents of the letter, Linasim Dasbachal Medina Medina, the law should be inserted, should be spread throughout all the provinces, Galiluchal Amim. This should be revealed. This is a very glaring contrast to what Haman was dastardly Dudley. Everything was under the table. He was a sneaky, he was, besides being, you know, a Russia guy, he was a sneak. Kolin l'chol ha'amim, v'liyas ha'yehudim, asidim, l'yeim azad, they should be ready, they should be destined, this is their destiny for this day, l'inokim e'aveyim, to take revenge from their enemies. Alright, there's so much on this pasuk. Alright, there's two ramazim here. The Chasam Sefer says, it says, Ubechal Medina, Umedina, Galui Lechal Ha'amin. So you take the words Medina, Galui Lechal Ha'amin. Medina, Galui Lechal Ha'amin. The Rashi Tevis of Medina, Galui Lechal Ha'amin is Mem Gimel Lamed Hey. That spells the word. Umedina, Medina, Galui Lechal, the province revealed for all the nations. Medina, Galui Lechal Ha'amin, Mem Gimel Lamed Hey. It's Megillah! The Chasam Services, you find the same letters by Yitzchak's Brismila. The Pasuk says, Vayas, Abraham, Mishta Gadol, he made a big Mishta. B'yem, Higamel is Yitzchak. Higamel is the letters Hey Gimel, Mem Lamed, which is Megillah. And the Pasuk says, it was a Mishta Gadol. It was a big feast. Big one. Why big? Because everyone was there. Who was there? Kadosh Baruch Hu was at the feast of Yitzchak's Bris. Kadosh Baruch Hu was here right now. It's Megillah. It's a Megillah. And the Chassam Sefer ends with, in Alein L'Shabeach, you have it by the beginning of Klal Yisrael, that Yitzchak is the beginning of Klal Yisrael, which is Higamel. You have it where Klal Yisrael is coming back, because it says Medina Galul L'Chala Amim, that's why it says Megillah. And you're going to have it in the times of Mashiach, as we say in Aleinu, Lahavir, Gilulim, Min Haaretz, that's Lamed, Gimel, Mem, Hey, which is the same letters as Lamed, Gimel, Mem, Hey, Megillah! Okay? Say it? Tosa Gedal. Haratzim Rech Marecha Shachastram Yetzim Uvahalim, they went out. Uvahalim means they were confused. Utchufim, and they were pressured. You know, they lit a fire under them. You gotta go. Bidvar Melech, by word of the king. Vadas Mitnah Bishana Shushan Bira. And the law was spread in Shushan. The Rekach says, who rushed them? So Hashem sent Malachim that sped the messengers on their way. The gematria of the word Yatsu, Yatsu Yid Tzadok Ayin Vav, is the gematria 107, which is the same gematria as the word Malachav, his angels, Mem
37.
107. Yatsu is 107. Malachav is Mem Lamed Aleph Chav Yud Vav. Mevoyalim is that they were confused. Pashup Shah, why were they confused? Because the first time they were sent out to kill the Jews and all the Goyim should kill the Jews. And the second time they were sent out all the Jews should kill the Goyim. So they were Pashit. They're Pasha confused. And the Pasuk ends by saying that the law was given Hadas Nitna B'Shush Mabira, meaning because once the messengers went out, then there was no way of taking them out there. So the law was given in Shushan Abira, that's the Bible.
Wait, so Shushan Abira is what?
Hadas Nitna, the law was established in Shushan, because once the Pony Express goes, there's no way of achieving it. No more pasuk. No more pasukim. All right, how many do we do?
We started.
Hey, Rav Zion, Chesed Yud.